hearing the news about Iyengar Prabhu's sudden departure, was a shock, and I could feel what a great loss it was for us here. I actually felt that he was a very close friend or dear friend, and a well-wisher and protector through his kirtan. By his kirtan, he gave shelter to people all over the world. And in a sense, he gave protection and life to the whole planet. Now I think of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who, after preaching very vigorously in Bengal in particular, and fighting against so many deviant sects, later became discouraged because many of the deviant groups that he had fought to expose, and which had taken a step back due to his bold preaching and clear explanations, were coming back again. So he had a dream, and in the dream Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him to come to Jagannath Puri and establish a bhajan kutir near Haridas Thakur's samadhi and just chant the holy names there, and that by his chanting there he would purify the whole world. So I was thinking about Iyengar Prabhu, how just residing in Vrindavan and doing kirtan with the consciousness that he had was actually purifying the whole world. It was giving shelter to people throughout the whole world, whether they were aware of it or not. And many devotees themselves did not realize how much Iyengar Prabhu meant to them or to the movement or to the world until he left. It's like he was such a fixture, if you will, that one, in a sense, could take him for granted, in the sense that one always assumed he would be there because he was such a fixture, sort of like the oxygen we breathe. It's always there, so we don't think about it. It's always there, it gives us life, but we don't think about it. So Iyengar Prabhu was such a constant factor in Vrindavan, in the Krishna Balaram temple, in the 24-hour kirtan, that I, for one, never imagined what life would be without him, what Vrindavan would be without him, or the temple, or the kirtan. And after his departure, I realized the magnitude of the loss. And through the kirtan, he was able to engage so many young men and transform their lives. I mean, the first that I noticed was Madhava from Mauritius. Madhava never really found himself materially or spiritually until he went to Vrindavan and joined Iyendra in the 24-hour kirtan. He really found himself as a devotee, as a human being, as a kirtanier. And now he's gone all over the world singing kirtan based on the inspiration and training he got from Iyendra Prabhu. And there are many others. Akinchana Krishna Das, who was here with Gauravani's group, he also has, you know, sat with him in Vrindavan and learned from him, and now he has been traveling and doing kirtan all over the world. And one close to home is Varun, Ramanuja Prabhu's son, who I stay with in London. Varun also, he's like, his life has been transformed by his experience in Vrindavan in the 24-hour kirtan with Iyendra Prabhu. And he has, I mean, he's amazing. But hearing about Iyendra Prabhu, I get a sense of where some of what Varun does comes from. Like he has beams of wood. He lives in a regular home in London. He has beams of wood. He's made his room like a bhajan kutir. And he can be absorbed in kirtan or Krishna, you know, deity worship, kirtan, hearing katha for the whole day. Just sit in his room the whole day and do nothing but chant, listen to tapes, worship his deities, and talk about Krishna consciousness. And he was extremely attached to Iyendra Prabhu. I actually have to speak with him, but he's in Vrindavan. He phoned his father and told him the news. And then later they had a longer talk, and Varun told him more about his very special relationship with Iyendra. Varun always wanted to be initiated by Iyendra, but Iyendra would refuse to initiate. But during the last 6 months or so, when he was in Vrindavan, he asked Iyendra to chant on his beads, which Iyendra Prabhu did. He said, yeah, I can do that. And he chanted on his beads for the whole day, 64 rounds or whatever. Then he returned the beads to him. And then Rune said, can you give me a spiritual name? And Iyengar said, don't try to trick me. And Ramanuja Prabhu, Varun's father, they used to joke that when Varun first went to Vrindavan, they used to introduce him, this is Varun, he's Ramanuja's son. But now it's like, this is Ramanuja, he's Varun's father. But anyway, Ramanuja has taken up the service of presenting Krishna conscious programs on the television. He's been very successful at it. He has a weekly television program in London. But some of his programs have been so successful, so attractive, that other stations are asking him to give them material. And Iyengar Prabhu had the desire that his kirtan should go on, I think, the most prominent of the stations in India, called Astana. And Ramanuja approached them, and they were interested. They agreed to air his kirtans, but they just needed to find a slot. And Iyengar Prabhu was very eager that his kirtan should be broadcast every day. So though he was very deep in his internal meditation on service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, he was also very merciful to the conditioned souls and wanting them to get the great treasure of the holy name. And he, you know, although he was a very simple sadhu in Vrindavan, but he was very aware of what was happening in the world, very aware of the possibilities that technology offered for propagating the holy name, and he wanted to use every resource available. Anyway, his departure is a great loss. You know, no one will be able to replace him. But as many devotees have quoted Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's inscription that he composed for Srila Haridas Thakur's samadhi, he reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. Vaishnavas die to live, and living spread the holy name around. But still, you know, as Braja Seviki so nicely said, there's a hole in the kirtan cloud now that will never be filled in exactly the same way. We'll have to weep, it's not, but devotees will have to try to fill that. One devotee in Bombay, very nice devotee, disciple of Indradumya Swami named Narottam Das Thakur Das, he made a very nice point that devotees express their love for Krishna, for Guru, for humanity in different ways, in different services. and Ayendra Prabhu expressed his mainly in his kirtan. Others express it in their cooking. Others may express it in their farming. Others may express it in their speaking, or in their writing, or in their distributing books, or in whatever their service is, in their deity worship. So it's not that everyone can exhibit the type of staunch determination in terms of personal austerity and discipline in the way that Ayendra Prabhu did. Very few can. But if we can imbibe his mood of complete dedication in whatever way we can express our desire to serve and longing for service, that will be our success. I think of His Holiness Sridhar Swami's, I took it as his instruction, just be yourself and make your own contribution. Ayendra Prabhu had that potency, which he says we all have potentially if we just become Krishna conscious, to stay in one place and affect the world. But there are others who will travel and affect the world in that way and in so many different ways. But the real thing is the intensity of purpose and letting go of everything else. Letting go of petty, mundane attachments. And another beautiful thing about Ayendra Prabhu's message is that the holy name, that this particular mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is Radha Krishna. It's Radha Krishna Yuga. And that just by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One is specifically associating with Radha and Krishna in their pastimes. And that's the special feature of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to serve specifically Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. And that is realized just by chanting the 16 words of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with attention, with devotion, with intensity. So his contribution in so many different ways and on so many different levels is probably only being beginning to be felt. And at the same time, the magnitude of the loss will probably be appreciated more and more, or felt more and more. as time goes on. But we have his example. We have the memories of his kirtan. We have the recordings. Ramanuja Prabhu actually filmed him, and he was going to put some programs of him performing kirtan on the television. In fact, he had planned to put the programs on DVDs and present them to Ayendra Prabhu the next time he went to Vrindavan. So we have recordings of him. We have written statements by him. So we, you know, he has left some important messages for us. But they may have to be adapted according to who we are as individuals and even according to the demands of the society. When Ramanuja Prabhu phoned last night, he mentioned that when he and Ramanuja Prabhu was also very close to His Holiness Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami would stay with him, and even when Sridhar Swami stopped over in London and was staying at the hotel near the airport, one of the few people that Sridhar Swami allowed to see him or invited to see him was Ramanuja Prabhu. He actually asked for pancakes. He said, "I don't want any Indian pancakes. I want real pancakes with butter and maple syrup from Canada." But so Ramanuja, after joining the 24-hour kirtan and associating with Ayendra, he was in the mood to just leave everything of London and move to Vrindavan and just be in Vrindavan and just sit in the kirtan and absorb himself in meditation and on Krishna in kirtan and experience the reality, the real reality. But then His Holiness Sridhar Swami said to him, "But what about your debt to Srila Prabhupada? How will you repay your debt to him?" And on the basis of Sridhar Swami's instruction, he returned to London, and he's taken up the television project. Although he says if it weren't for that, there's nothing that would keep him in London. He would just leave it all and go to Vrindavan. So, internally, we should hanker for Vrindavan. We should hanker to just be absorbed in kirtan and in meditation on Krishna, in kirtan. And out of that internal mood, we can have so much effect on the world. But then again, as Bhakti Karl said, there's sort of a paradox that we have to be qualified to chant, but the way to become qualified is to chant. So it's sort of like that in order to really affect the world, you have to be pure. But part of the process of becoming pure is to work for the purification of others, to work for the mission. But we really need oath. We need that internal cultivation of the mood of devotion, specifically the mood of Vrindavan, and the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mood of Audarya, to distribute mercy to the fallen souls. And that was seems to have been perfectly reflected in the cover of the book. That you look at it one way and it's Radha and Krishna and their pastimes in Vrindavan, you look at it another way and it's Gaur Nithai and their pastimes. So we have a lot to learn from Mahendra Prabhu. And I pray that his the feelings that his departure has awakened in us or elicited from us will continue, and that his living and dying will not be in vain, but will, you know, his concern and care for us will be realized in our continued efforts to fulfill that ideal of internally relishing the holy name and meditation on Krishna, and externally extending the mercy to others.